Well, good morning. How are you all today? And welcome to Integrative Preparedness. Have you considered the possibility of your stores being confiscated? I know that it's a subject that people talk about occasionally. And I think a lot of people just kind of, throw it off and flippantly refer to it. But I'm not sure how many people give real serious thought to that. So I want to talk about that a little bit today. A reminder, if you're wanting to come to the first annual Integrative Preparedness Stonemont Gathering, it's coming up July 13th in Lenexa, Kansas. Make sure that you register. It doesn't cost anything, but we just need to know how many people are going to be there for a couple of reasons. It's going to be a great day. Had dinner with a couple of friends last night who are going to be there. Those of you, I won't mention their names on here because this also goes on YouTube, but those of you on Patreon would know him well. Had a great dinner. Hi, Jim. Don't worry, that didn't give anything away. Do make sure that you register if you haven't and you want to come to that. It's going to be a great day, like I said. And you can register by coming to the Stonemont website, stonemont.us, and then go over to the events tab. You'll see when you get to the homepage, there's some information and where you can order books and t-shirts and mugs and things like that. And then events, go to the events tab and it'll take you and let you register. And then we'll know you're coming and we will look forward to seeing you just like we're looking forward to seeing everybody else. Okay, I was talking with some friends of mine the other day, people with many, many years in, shall I say, government service. And we were talking about what's going on with the world, of course. I will simply say, there's a lot of people in the preparedness world that are very smart, very intelligent, and have a good grip on things. They have a good, solid understanding of many of the dangers. And nobody really has. Well, some do, but I was going to say most people don't have a solid grip on the many, many dangers and threats that you can face. But many in the world, do have a grasp of the basics. Okay, but I'll tell you, and those of you who have worked for the government, and depending on the depth to which you have gone in the monster, you know that the average person knows only a very small slice of the truth, right? When you work for the government, those of you who have worked there, you know that and you can verify that. It's amazing how much more when you start peeling the onion. It's amazing how much more there is there. And like is often said, if the average citizen knew half of the truth, they wouldn't want to get out of bed in the morning. Well, so I was talking to some people that I know who have long and very deep involvement in the government, and we were talking about the state of the world and what we think may be coming, and there is universal concern among them. They are prepared, and they are continuing to prepare even harder now. I'll simply say if they are, if I am, you should too. And one of the things that came up was the possibility, the very real possibility of confiscation of private stores, your food, your water, your boom booms, your everything like that. Those of you who have read, I think maybe I'll read you a couple of paragraphs. If those of you who have read my first book, The Reversion, know that that I write about this in there. And I'm going to read one of many people's favorite scenes out of this book is when it's after the collapse and everything. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the story, I'm not going to go into detail here, but they have a National Guard captain, apparently, has brought a squad of National Guardsmen to Stonemont, which is where the main hub of the story is. And they have approached, Jim Wyatt, the main character, and saying that they want to talk to him about Stonemont's supplies. And so I'm going to pick it up there and just read you a little bit. I'm going to read you where it starts and then I'll I don't know if I'll tell you the solution, the Stonemont solution to this or not. We'll see. We'll see how I feel in a couple of paragraphs, okay? Okay. So Collins, that's the little captain here, sat a little taller, lifting his chin and looking around the table. They're sitting at, they've had him come over for dinner, and at Stonemont, there's a big table where everybody gathers for dinner. He says, the National Guard is the representative of the United States government and is directed to establish order, enforce all laws, provide for the safety and welfare of the populace, and secure all provisions necessary for the providence of such safety and welfare. In order to accomplish this, we will need an inventory of all provisions currently being held by private parties, including all food supplies, weapons, ammunition, livestock, and active crop production. The word sent a coldness through Jim, and he fought to keep a calm demeanor before answering. I see. And why is such an inventory necessary, Captain? In order to facilitate the orderly distribution of resources as needed, replied Collins. Jim knew exactly what that meant, but wanted Collins to put it into words for everyone to hear. And what does that mean, Captain? Collins hesitated, then answered, There are many people nearing starvation, Mr. Wyatt. Others have more than they need. My directives authorize me to receive surpluses from those with excess stores and distribute them to those who need them. Jim let several seconds pass before continuing. Receive, huh? You know, Captain Collins, I used to work for the government, and I was always amused at the bureaucrat language they used. You said you were directed to receive surpluses from those with excess stores and distribute them to those who need them? Some might say that means take. Others might say it means stealing from those who prepared in order to give it to those who didn't. How would you characterize it, Captain? Okay, so that's where it started. Now we're going to pick it up a few pages later. There's more that goes on in conversations and some other kinds of things. So now Jim has had to leave the table for a minute. He comes back. And he's asked this Collins, he says, where are you from, son? The guy's told him he's from Connecticut. Well, if Sheriff McGregor said earlier, this is Kansas. Being from Connecticut, you may not know that you're sitting only a couple hundred miles from the original Boot Hill, which is filled with guys who tried to take stuff that didn't belong to them. Now you say you have directives telling you to take our stuff so that you can give it to other people. Tell me, Captain, what gives you that right? The law gives me that right, said Collins defensively. The government. What government, Captain? Now here's where you might think that we're separating a little bit from the book as to what's going on now, but I suggest that you think hard about that question. What government? The United States government, of course, Collins answered. Of course. What makes you think the United States government still exists, Captain? Collins looked confused. Of course it exists. How could it not exist? Oh, I don't know, Captain. Perhaps the same way the Roman Empire no longer exists, or ancient Greece, or the Mayan civilization. The U.S. government long ago turned away from serving the interests of the American people and declined into a despotic organism which took from those who were productive and gave to those who were not. In essence, Captain, the government became a facilitator for parasites who eventually destroyed their host's ability and willingness to support them. I don't know what you mean, said Collins, obviously confused and irritated. This is nonsense. Jim leaned back in his chair. I'm not surprised you don't know what it means, Captain. You must have gone to public schools. But as far as being nonsensical, it is not. It was the government programs of the past 50 years that were nonsense, and which destroyed our country's ability and will to defend against the very kind of thing that's happened to us. They were too busy making economic and political war on those who believed in the founding principles of this country to focus on the real enemies. Or maybe they did it on purpose. Who knows? It doesn't matter now. What matters is that we may have been given an opportunity to start over. If so, we're sure as hell not going to start over again by taking some people's stuff away from them and giving it to other people. around here, any giving, taking, or exchanging of private property will be voluntary. So there won't be any receiving, securing, taking, or redistribution of anything around here, Captain, except as we, as free men and women, decide of our own free will. Is that clear? And then the captain gets upset, and he stands up and he pulls a gun on Jim. And then the problem is solved quickly and directly. Now, that's, of course, is fiction. But you're probably aware that your property can be taken from you by law, legally. That if things reach a point to where the powers that, as Kevin Altepeter over on Patreon says, the powers that should not be determined that they need your stuff to provide for the common good, they can legally come take it. And I think a lot of people have complained about that. A lot of people know about that. Now, many people don't realize that. Okay. But a lot of people complain about it. But I wonder how many people who complain about it have actually thought and planned for that eventuality. Now, for those of you who have not thought about it, I hope you're thinking about it now. For those of you who have thought about it, I hope that you'll think about it a little more deeply. What are you doing to ensure that your property cannot be improperly taken from you? Remember, I didn't say legally. I didn't say illegally. It wouldn't be taken illegally. It would be taken legally. But is that proper? Is that right? You know, there's legal and illegal, and then there's right and there's wrong. And I think we each know the difference with that. So what steps have you taken, are you taking, or will you take to make sure that somebody can't just come and take everything you have and leave you high and dry? You know, you've prepped maybe, or maybe you're just getting started, and maybe you've been doing it for years, and you have a lot. You have maybe almost as much as I recommend, 7 years. And you are set, and you are prepared for yourself and your family, your extended family, for friends who come along. And you've put a lot of time into it. You've put money into it. You've put energy into it. And then it happens. And the world is collapsing around you. And all of a sudden, some big trucks pull out up in front of your house or your farm or wherever. And the little officious National Guard captain gets out with his squad of soldiers and says, "We're from the government and we're here to help. We're here to help everybody. And we thank you so much for all of your efforts and your preparedness. And now we will be distributing all of your food and all of your supplies and all your toilet paper and all your, you know, whatever. Of course, we'll be confiscating those things that we don't need you to have right now. But everything else, we will be distributing to your neighbors." And probably not your neighbors, probably their neighbors, right? Or just to them. What are you going to do? Now, I know that there will be some who say, "Well, I'll fight them. They're not getting my stuff." You might try to fight them. You're not going to fight them. You're not going to win. And here's the thing, you know, I don't hear it nearly as much as I did a few years ago, but I still occasionally read a comment about, "Well, I'll fight to the death." And that's exactly right. You will, you know, I don't know how much you're going to fight to the death, but you will die. And it's just, that's just a fact. You try to resist this, and you may put up a pretty good fight, okay? You might be an ex-Green Beret, SEAL, MARSOC, all rolled up into one. You'll put up a heck of a fight. You'll take out a bunch of them. And if they need more, you know what they'll do? They'll call more. And what's going to happen is that you will end up dead or in a cage. Your family will end up dead or in cages. And they'll still take all of your stuff. And so what has been solved? You still have none of your stuff, and now you're either dead or in a cage. Simple as that. It will not work out any other way than that. Every person who thinks they're going to fight the government individually is living a fantasy. Not going to happen. Then what do you do? Do you have all of your stuff in one place? Most people do, to be honest. Now, there are some who are really have been at this for a long time, and they don't, you know. Diversity is your strength, right? And I mean diversity in location. No, I don't have everything in my house. I put some of it at my brother's. You think they don't know who your brother is? You think they don't know who your friends are? You think they don't know who's in your group? You know, that was another thing. I was talking with some friends the other day. Again, very long and deep history in government. And one of them was just shaking his head and said, man, you know, if people have no understanding, all the communications that are being scooped up. And I'll tell you what, in the old days, it wasn't nearly that bad because, you know, I mean, there were certain things that, you know, would be picked up, but it would take human interaction viewing all the information. With AI, it's a totally new game. They know everything. That's why the silly OPSEC, you know, is silly because it is so far beyond what most people think they're securing. So do you have any stuff somewhere that really nobody knows? What if you get that visit? Do you have plans for how to handle that visit? Now, I'm going to give away something here, maybe, and maybe not, that maybe, let's just say theoretically, hypothetically, someone comes to your house and they say, hello, Mr. Jones, we're here from the government. We're here to help other people at your expense, and we will appreciate you helping us to carry out all of your stuff to our trucks. And we will give you a receipt, you know, we'll give you receipts and everything. And we will leave you a box of food that will last you a week. And after that time, here are the directions to the new distribution center. It's only a mile away from your house. And then you can come down there once a week and get your box of food. And so what do you do? Well, so well, Mr. Jones has not made any plans. And so he said, well, I don't want you to, you know, you stay out here. In which case, Mr. Jones ends up, you know, with his nose on the deck and his wrist flex cuffed behind him as they go down and they get all of his food. Mr. Brown, on the other hand, is a little bit smarter. He says, okay, it's down in my basement. And they go down there and they see all the stuff, and they say, well, thank you, Mr. Brown. You're a new hero of the motherland, and here's your receipt, and here's your medal for being a good, upstanding citizen, and here's the directions to the food distribution center. You come down once a week, and because you were so nice, we're going to give you an extra can of peaches every week. But Mr. Brown, he waves bye-bye, and he says, okay, well, thank you, guys. Thank you for leaving me my 1 week of food, even though you took all my guns, and then they leave, and Mrs. Brown comes up to him and says, "Honey, what are we going to do?" And Mr. Brown smiles and says, "Well, I gave him something. I didn't give him everything." Right? Okay. It's kind of like having a decoy gun. You know, if somebody comes up and is going to rob you, and they say, "Give me your gun." So you give them the gun that they can see, right? They didn't see the one in the back of your belt. And then there's a Mr. Green, who's even smarter. And after he says, "Okay, well, all right, there's nothing I can do. I got to, you know, take my stuff. I'll be down for my box of food." And then he sees, he has stuff other places. Let's just say other places, shall we? Are those other places in the house? I don't know. Are they in his backyard? I don't know. Are they out in a park close by, well hidden, that he took the time to? I don't know. I don't know where they are. Where are yours? You know, a lot of people will think that this is kind of fanciful thinking, that this is just a kind of a fantasy. Take yourself back about 10 years ago and ask yourself if at that time you would ever have imagined our world, our country, getting to the point where it is now. Ask yourself. If you want a real exercise, go back to 2000, 1999, before 9/11. Can most of you even remember how things were back then? How different they were back then? I think it's hard for a lot of people to remember because, you know, we have gone through the incrementalism of the camel's nose. You know, the camel's nose got in the tent and we didn't keep it out. And then the camel's eyes, and then his ears, and then his neck, and then the first jump and the second hump, and pretty soon the whole damn camel's in the tent. And we have a hard time remembering what it was like with no camel in the tent. Gee, remember how much room we used to have in the tent before this damn camel came in here? Right? Well, I'm not, for obvious reasons, I'm not going to give specific advice on what to do with this. My general advice is you figure out how you can do it. You should not. Have you ever heard the saying, "Don't keep all your eggs in one basket"? You know, those people knew what they were talking about, right? They didn't realize they were just all talking about eggs, but that's so true. Diversity in everything. Diversity in your supplies. Diversity in, shall we say, your storage locations. Diversity in income streams. I'm going to keep harping on that because so many people still don't understand the importance of increasing your income. And when is this going to come about? We don't know, and that's the most important thing to one of the many important things to understand. We don't know if and when this is going to happen, but we do know that it is a definite possibility, maybe even approaching a possibility. And the more you go down the probability path, you finally reach certainty. So where we are on that road, we don't know. We have no idea. So don't be misled by those people that say, "Well, this is not going to do any good because things are falling apart and it's going to, you know, all fall apart before you have a chance to do anything." You don't know that. Get busy doing something now. Do a little bit more. Add this to your planning. Okay. And it's no different than having everything in your house. I mean, what if your house burned down? You're just going to burn up all the stuff in it. Okay. This is here again. This is where, and I know that people hate to hear me talk about the affluent people and how prepared they are, but they are. Stop being remove the hatred for affluent people, not all of you, not most of you. I'm addressing this to the 2% who are like this, and take a lesson from them. You know, they have a lot of stuff in their main house. They have a lot of stuff at their lake house. They have a lot of stuff at their mountain house. Okay. They have a lot of the stuff at their house in the woods. They understand diversity because they have reached their level of affluence by diversifying in business, in interests, in investments, all sorts of things. Diversification is one of the foundational principles of being successful in anything in life. Okay. So anyway, be that. What are you doing? You don't have to tell me. You know, I don't. Matter of fact, I encourage you not to give me any specifics in your comments. You can just say, Steve, I have been, and I encourage everybody else to. Or you can say, Steve, I hadn't really thought about that, but thank you, and I'm going to start thinking about that. Don't tell me where, okay? And I won't tell you where. But think about it. If you haven't been doing this, do it. If you would like, by the way, or just a reminder, if you want to come to the gathering, July 13th, come to the Stonemont website and get yourself signed up because people are really looking forward to it. I can't wait. If you haven't read the Stonemont series yet, I think I am actually caught up. Believe it or not, I'm actually caught up in shipping all of our book orders. Now, we still have some mug orders going out. And some t-shirts. But we have been so swamped over the last month and a half. It's everything that we can do just to keep up with getting the book shipped out. I think, though, as of yesterday, I'm caught up on the book orders. Okay. So if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, the Stonemont series, my books, now 7 books. The Reversion, the Revival, the Renewal, and Appeal to Heaven, the Blessings of Freedom, Hostages to Fortune, and the latest one, which is not available quite yet, it is On Wings Like Eagles. It should be available in a couple of weeks. We are accepting pre-orders on the 7th. I've never done that before, but we are now. Let me show you what that is. The latest one, On Wings Like Eagles. And so we are accepting pre-orders through the website. You can't do it through Amazon. You can buy all my books through Amazon if you'd like. They get them to you really quick. They don't have the problems that I do about running out and then having to order more and all that kind of stuff. So I always say, if you want them fast, get them from Amazon. If you want them signed by me, and I love doing that, and a little note, then get them from me. And it's, you know, hey. By the way, thanks for all your patience. Those of you who have been so patient waiting for your orders to get there. There's also a one click that this was somebody suggested this to me or asked me about it. Why can you make the whole set available in a one click? And we have. And when you order the whole set in one click, I also toss in the Stonemont notebook. That's a really cool little thing. It's just a notebook, nothing in there. Just places for you to keep your lists and notes and things like that. But people love it. And I use mine all the time. And those who have ordered the whole set with the one click, those orders will go out when we get in the On Wings Like Eagles. Because it has to be sent as a set. And so, you know, just wait, you know, until those are available. Then we'll get those sent out to you. Okay. And it's a great story, just packed with all the survival and preparedness and community building lessons you can imagine. You'll love the story and you'll learn a lot. So think about this. Again, diversification. Would you be wiped out if whoever knows the powers that should not be come and want your stuff? Or any other robber, right? Do you have backups to backups to backups? You should. Okay. Well, you all have a good day. Remember, we prepare well today in order to live well tomorrow. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.